May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm not going to teach from that story, but that was the assigned reading for the day. It was a profound story. That first miracle is in. It says this is the first miracle that Jesus performed. And the word first there is the Greek word arch. It's an arch miracle. And that every other thing that Jesus did, or the first arch work, sort of falls under that arching thing. There's some things that happened in that miracle that sort of everything kind of has to fall under category of what Christ does. And there's some truths there that are pretty amazing. We don't have time to do all that, but the fact that Jesus called something changed, totally transformed the chemical makeup of something from water into wine, and the fact that he saved the best for last. And just when we think it's too late, we're in a battle, we think it's too late in the day, that's what Jesus specializes in. I was thinking about, we got a report for us, for CTKers. We have an old friend named Betty Brennan. And Betty was one of those people many years ago who came and ministered as a Roman Catholic lady, Spirit-filled Roman Catholic lady, who was used in a powerful way in Roman Catholic charismatic renewal for decades. Betty's almost 80. And we knew that, discovered she had cancer some months ago, and she was dying. And so Olivia talked to a friend of ours. He's an orthopedic surgeon, Joe Scoggins, who lives out in the same area, and was asking Joe about him, about Betty. And he said, well, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because I got a call back and check on her. I went to see her a month or so ago, that her cancer is metastasized, and the kind of cancer that she has, she doesn't have long, and it's not going to be very easy. He said, but I called to check on her the other day. She's in Maryland with her sister, and she's healed. Joe used the word remission, but that's a medical way of saying there's no cancer, and they're calling it remission. So it's not too late. It doesn't matter how old you are, and no matter how far the battle is. I look forward to calling her and talking to her. This is from Psalm 66. It says, shout joyfully to God, all the earth, and sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. And say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will feign obedience to you. And all the earth will worship you and will sing praises to you. And will sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds towards the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed the river on foot. There let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. He keeps his eyes, keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt himself. Bless our God, O peoples, and sound his praise abroad. Just something simple here that the Lord was showing me this morning from the scripture and just praying into. As he says in verse 3, say to God, how awesome are your works. Because of the greatness of your power, your enemies will give feigned obedience to you. And all the earth will worship you. And they will sing praises to you. And they will sing praises to your name. When you give feigned obedience, it means that you bow to someone, though you don't really mean it, but you don't have much choice. And what this scripture says, if you look down in verse 7, it says, he rules by his might forever. When we pray that prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come is explained by the term, thy will be done. We're asking for God's will, as it's done in heaven, to be manifested on earth. When Jesus and John the Baptist proclaimed his kingdom, they were simply proclaiming his reign on earth. And then they demonstrated his reign by destroying the works of the devil. Jesus would confront sickness or demon possession or whatever, and he would proclaim the kingdom, his reign, his rule, and that the rule of Satan was over, and then he demonstrated it by healing a person, setting them free from what the enemy had established in the kingdom of darkness. And so I love what he says here. He rules by his power forever. Whenever God's rule is manifested, it's always going to be manifested in power. Always. And it says here that how awesome are your works, and because of the greatness of your power, your enemies give feigned obedience to you. What causes the enemy to bow before the Lord is when God's power, the greatness of his power, is demonstrated. Even though he doesn't like it, and even though it's not in his heart, the enemy must bow before the great power of God when it's demonstrated. And that's why it's so important for us that we go after the experience and the manifestation of the fullness of Jesus. I love to know Jesus. I love knowing Jesus in character, because that brings peace to my own life and victory in my own heart, freedom. But I want to see Jesus manifested in power too, in fullness, because I want to see the enemy bow before the kingdom of God. He might not like it, but the only way to get the enemy to bow before the Lord, to bow before the kingdom of God, is for the great power of God to be demonstrated. That's why it's important. That's why it's significant. And when Jesus said in John that even just as the Father sent me, so send I you, we carry the same mission that he carried. And he's equipped us with the same equipment. And therefore, it's not optional. We've talked about this before. We don't get to pick. Now, we have assignments that God's given us. You know, again, our calling is to be Christ-like. And then we have specific callings, those assignments where we manifest that Christ-likeness. We all have the same identity. We're in Christ. That's our identity. And our calling is to be Christ-like in specific places. But there is an overarching assignment that we're given, and that is to go forth and advance the kingdom of God in power. We don't get to choose a different assignment. We don't get to go to people and say, I'm called to demonstrate the likeness of Christ. But understand that my likeness of Christ looks different than like the Christ you read about in Scripture. I'm sort of a mini-me Christ. I can demonstrate to you the character of Christ, but I'm not called to demonstrate the power of Christ. That's nonsense. We don't have an option. And if we want to see the enemy bow, even though it's feigned obedience, it may be fake, I don't care, long as he bows before the God of the impossible, before the greatness of God's power. So why do I want to see the greatness of God's power demonstrated? Is it because it makes me feel good? I want to experience everything Jesus is. And I want to manifest everything Jesus is. But two, I want to see the enemy bow before. I want to see the enemy give in, give up, bow down. And he says here, all the earth will worship him. We'll sing praises to him. And they will sing praises to God. Come and see who is awesome in his deeds towards the sons of men. What's going to cause the whole earth to bow down before God? The demonstration of God's great power and the enemy bowing down before him. So whether or not this is something we walk in, that's not optional. We don't need to keep, that's not something we need to ponder. What we need to ponder is, why am I not manifesting that? And how do we advance in grace? There's a great place in 2 Timothy, I'll talk about this another time, but it's a great place in 2 Timothy where Paul tells Timothy, he prays, he says, I pray that you'll be strong in grace. How do you be strong in grace? It's got nothing to do with how strong you are. Strong in grace. And that place in Matthew when he says that Jesus advanced in favor with God and man, that's the word grace. I want to take the advanced courses of the manifesting the grace of God. Not something you deserve. It's grace. It's favor. But I want to take advanced courses. You understand? I've already signed up for the degree in Christlikeness, so I want the advanced courses. I want to advance in grace with God and its impact on men. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.